Welcome to the Universal Podcast Network. One voice, everywhere.
Hi, I'm Daniel Likis. This is Science 101, making science approachable, understandable, and, well, relevant to everyday life. Well, of course, my legendary co-host, Mr. Mark L. Christensen.
Hello. Good to see you again, Daniel. Let's talk science.
Yes, good to see you, partner. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks. And hey, the new podcast, Universal Podcast, looks like it's doing great. The new network, love it.
Yes, under the Universal Podcast Network, because Mr. Mark and I doing two of them. Right now, we have 23 podcasts under the Universal Podcast Network. Please do visit our official website, www.universalpodcast.net. And of course, listen to us wherever you listen your podcast. We are live in Live 365, online radio in the US, radio.com in the UK, under the Universal Podcast Network. So, Mr. Mark, what will be our topic for today?
The topic for today is specifically, it's ribose sugar or sugar in general. It's a topic for today. And the reason why I like to talk about it is because there's been a recent discovery in the cosmos about a cloud made of sugar. This is kind of new information, a new discovery. So that's very interesting. Some of the questions are like, did Earth make its own sugar, or did sugar come from space to help the chemistry on Earth develop life itself? Very, very interesting idea here. And a lot of that's been going on. Well, did life really start on Earth, or did Earth start, and then did life come to Earth to start the chemistry itself? And my understanding of that idea is that if you have two variables to ignite life, then the possible chance for the universe to be a complete dud is there. So I cancel out the external element, the secondary external element coming to Earth to fire up life. I think it's all temperature related, and through heliobiogenesis, the book I'm working on now, I'm trying to pinpoint the evidence to show that it literally is temperature is the only variable you need. And if you needed for something else to come around, when is that going to come around? Earth's temperature time window is only 4 or 5 billion years long. After that, you can't support life here before or after that. So something would have to float along cosmically to just, you know, like interfere with that time window, which is really, really small, to have a secondary element for the ignition of life. The timing would need to be absolutely impeccable. So that's another reason why you would cancel out sugar being a necessary element to have found its way to Earth accidentally one day to ignite Earth. And life's been around for 4.5 billion. It only has, you know, 100 million left to go. So you needed all that time to evolve a human being and this very podcast. That's my take on that so far. But the sugar is very interesting. They found a cloud of it in space. And their question is did that help Earth start? So I'm just learning about this too. So they've detected what they call a erythrolus sugar. That's what they call it. I don't know how to pronounce it. Erythrolus is the word. It's an interstellar cloud of a molecular cloud of sugar. Robeson, the sugar used in RNA, and already has been found in asteroids and other materials in space. This suggests that some building blocks of life can be found before the existence of our planet. See, that's what's interesting. The integration of biology may be widespread throughout the galaxy, whether there's a planet or not. That's already evident. And it's just very interesting. Did Earth make those molecules or retrieve them later on? The evidence increasingly suggests that both processes may be contributed rather than one conclusive evidential factor. So I'm going to say, once again, if you need two to simultaneously, you know, emerge at the same time, that's just almost impossible to happen. And if it did happen, it would only happen once in the entire universe. That makes us the only intelligent life form out of the trillions of galaxies. So that doesn't make sense either. The late to heavy bombardment as a delivery system. Now, this is where it might make sense, because when you're going to form a planet or something that will eventually evolve into a biosphere, you need all the chemistry there. You need all the components necessary for those chemicals to ignite life. And if this cloud or some element within the pre-bombardment period of making Earth, that sugar cloud was developed from the explosion of the supernova of our sun's originating explosive beginning, then that would make sense, because it's already a part of the makeup of elements that will be involved in the bombardment system, which means that every single planet in our solar system has, you know, the same sugar. That makes sense. Why sugar matters? Sugars are more than food. They are the essential components for biology. Robicin forms the backbone of RNA, and sugar helps to store and transfer energy. That's really interesting. They contribute to the cell structure and the metabolism of cells itself. See, the thing that I noticed that I had written a little chapter on in Fungus Theory is that the forestry that we have depends on a lot of underground fungus, and they share a relationship. So there wouldn't even be a forestry without a massive, huge underground world of fungus, because the relationship there is that the tree gives sugars, the tree roots give sugars to the fungus in the ground, and in return the fungus gives nutrients to the tree root. So they have a shared relationship. Probably either one wouldn't grow very long without one another, so it's pretty interesting. But the sugar for fungus itself is a thinking chemical, so it helps the fungus think, which is really interesting. And of course, my book also tries to show some evidence that humanity is a spore of the very large global fungus, which is everything, and that sugar is the main thing that helps us become more and more intelligent. There's some other really interesting aspects about it. It's the one thing that makes America a fat. America has the most obese people in it than any other country, because the marketing here and the laws allow companies to put sugar in their food, fattening up the humans here. And McDonald's has a percentage of sugar in it. That's why you like that hamburger, because it's a sugar burger, actually. So that's one interesting thing. And the other thing is that when you eat a candy bar or anything sugar or drink or anything, you get a burst of energy, which is really interesting. If you feel like you're sleepy or you got to take a nap, if you have a Coke or something, you pop right out of it. It's really amazing. It's a really a brain drug. It's brain food. Every living cell depends on sugar: plants, fungus, animals, bacteria, and humans. It's one of biology's universal molecules, we're finding out. Very universal molecules. And RNA really depends on sugar. I think that's five specific sugars that RNA relies on. And photosynthesis is sugar's manufacturing process. So, nearly every meal you eat or ever have eaten ultimately contains sugar that was made from sunlight. So, for instance, plants convert sunlight, water, and carbon dioxide into sugar. That's how we manufacture it here. Whether it came from a space cloud or not, originally, that's how we get sugar to have brain function here. Then every food chain builds from that. So basically, like heliobiogenesis is another book I'm working on. That's the process of how life would work. A planet, sunlight, water, and carbon dioxide turns into sugar, and sugar feeds the thinking process, which, if you think about it, contributes to brain growth and the capability of eventually building and developing technologies. And those technologies will eventually extend biology beyond the planet that made it and all the sugars that it took to get us there. That's the bigger picture. Mm-hmm. Sugars store solar energy. Ribosome may have existed before Earth. We've talked about that. Why robins instead of any other sugar? And scientists still don't know why exactly. They're not sure why it even settled, the evolution had settled on ribosome for RNA. That's the process that we just talked about. They're not sure why. We're still really learning about this. And sugar may have been the missing step. Scientists have indicated that amino acids, nucleobiosis, sugar, water in space, and extraterrestrial materials, yet none of these alone are alive, but they are the living elements. Anyhow, I'm just throwing sugar around today because it's in the news, and it's a very interesting aspect of all of our lives. We all try to fight sugar, to limit it, even though our brain loves it. We fight it because in the end we could develop diabetes. My mother died from diabetes, so I know how all that really goes. And she loved cakes. My mom was a cake and muffin lover. So, yeah. What do you think about sugar? Daniel, got any ideas?
Well, sugar. We are addicted to sugar just like other substances. They yeah. said like 90% we are addicted to it. So we need sugar, isn't it, right?
We need it. Yeah. Need it.
So
you can't live without it.
Consume moderately. Because yeah. sugar. Too much sugar, it will lead to obesity. So,
yes, you know. And dialysis. It's not a fun mm-hmm. life. Yeah.
Yes, it's not a fun life. So, Mr. Mark, what are cosmic sugar clouds and which sugar-related molecules have scientists discovered inside them?
Well, I'm just still learning about it myself. But they have discovered these cosmic clouds of sugar that just that exist on their own independently, like a cloud of water exists in space and there's a cloud of sugar. They're not really sure how it got there. It's just a new discovery. So they're trying to really pinpoint whether or not Earth and life on Earth exists because of that cloud or because of the manufacturing of solar sugar here on Earth. Rather than cosmic sugar, so they're still finding that out, and it's just I wanted to talk about it because it's interesting to realize that the thing you need the most could also harm you.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah, I mean it's brain food. Sugar is brain food, so that's why we like it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, Mr. Mark. I have one more question. What are cosmic sugar clouds and which sugar-related molecules have, well, something that if you related now to our daily lives, is it the same sugar that we're using on Earth or different forms of sugar? Mm-hmm. It's like honey. Honey is like sweet. Is it sugar or the same kind of sugar?
Well, most molecule clouds contain hydrogen, helium, carbon monoxide, ice water, methanol, ammonia, and various organic molecules. A small amount of sugar molecules, such as the recently discovered, here we go again, erythrolose, and evidence of other biological relevant sugars in the extraterrestrial materials. So how does sugar form in space? Scientists think it's a process that works roughly like this. Tiny dust grains become coated with a thin layer of frozen water, carbon monoxide, methane, and then other simple molecules. Ultraviolet light from nearby stars and cosmic rays strike these ice coatings. The energy breaks chemical bonds and allows atoms to recombine into increasingly complex organic molecules. And other over thousands and millions of years, some of these reactions produce sugar and other components important to biology. So what they're thinking, because this is not a pure science yet, they're thinking that these elements, frozen water, carbon monoxide, and other components, other molecules, get hit with ultraviolet rays. That's really interesting, because like supernova and pulsars and all these other light processing elements bombard these materials that are floating in space independently and turn into sugar. That's really amazing. That's what they think. So we're still trying to get our evidence to really prove why. Well, here's another thing. For decades, many scientists assumed that the complex organism and chemistry happened mainly on planets. Okay, we know that. And now we're discovering that some of these chemicals associated with life can be between the stars. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I thought it would be just fun to talk about sugar because of this newly, what they call extraterrestrial material in space. So huge clouds of sugar is really interesting. But for the most part, our sun creates everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we create our own sugar. When you eat a candy bar, it came from a sugar cane. And when fungus grows on your wall, it got sugar from some plant nearby. Some root system. It's pretty neat. Pretty neat stuff.
Indeed, the sugar, we need it. People, even the universe, I think they have sugar as well. So to wrap up our discussion for today, Mr. Mark, could these cosmic sugar molecules become part of a newly forming planets, comets, or asteroids, just like water?
Yes, well, like the early bombardment of Earth's development, it would have had been, it wouldn't have been, conveniently bombarded next to some previously made extraterrestrial cloud of sugar. That's impossible. So the explosion of our sun that created the planetary disk would have had to form its own sugar. So that supernova would have formed its own sugar. That's evidential, because when is our solar system going to, travel? I think it travels 170,000 miles an hour through the Milky Way. When's it going to run into a cloud of sugar to ignite life on Earth? It's just almost impossible for that for that variable to happen. In fact, it's a random variable, which means almost unpredictable and impossible. I'm convinced that we generated our own sugar from the beginning of our solar system.
Mm-hmm. Well said, Mr. Mark. So can you please invite our listeners to support your upcoming books as well as your Fungus Fury?
Yes, thank you. Yeah, I'm starting two new books. One's called What Are Humans Becoming? And it's a layman version of fungus theory, so that it doesn't really have a lot of science in it, just a few facts, but it just talks philosophically about why humanity has arrived, what its main purpose is, and the evidence behind that. And then a second book is more scientific book called Heliobiogenesis. And it's the process of making consciousness grow to the become capable of surviving the end of its own birthplace through solar energy, period. And why only solar energy? That's coming up. And the book I have on Amazon is Fungus Theory of Conscious Growth. You can find it on Amazon or at my website, marklchristiansen.com. And basically, that book is a book full of evidence showing the possibility that you and I and all humans are the spore, that's right, a spore of a very large earth fungus, which is everything else.
Yes, people, let's support Mr. Mark L. Christensen, because if you support him, for sure, more and more empowering books like this to rise. So please do visit, again, our official website to all the podcasts that we're creating, www.universalpodcast.net, and of course wherever you listen your podcast. So Mr. Mark,
yes sir,
thank you so much. Thanks, Daniel. For your time.
Thank you too.
Yes, Martica people, see you soon.
Thank you for joining us on the Universal Podcast Network. One voice everywhere.